So I'm going to start with, I think, the thing that most of us, not you, of course, but most of us casuals, I'll lump Justin in here with me, were watching, sitting here, watching that final with Leilani Fernandez, and she falls in the final there. What happened with the Band-Aid? Was it too long? Was there some chicanery going on? Do we have a right to feel upset at all? Can you just give us an informed person's opinion on the five-minute Band-Aid incident that will be remembered throughout all of Canadian history?
it's actually really funny because the reason I know about that rule is because I've actually had to deal with it myself. In professional tennis, you can't compete when you're bleeding. An athlete has to immediately stop play and they have to get the bleeding under control. That's a rule. That's like, you can't argue that. It doesn't matter at what point in the match the score is, you have to stop and you need to stop the bleeding. So when it happened, it's obviously such a rare thing. Like, tennis isn't a contact sport. It's not usually a sport where you're going to see blood. But when it happened, you know, a lot of tennis fans were just super confused because it's not something that they're used to seeing. And I could see how, like, definitely frustrated Layla. And, you know, she was complaining, and rightfully so, because she wasn't aware of the rule. And she's so young that, you know, she probably hadn't experienced that before. But the right thing happened. That was, you know, whether or not you agree with that rule, that is the rule of professional tennis. The play can't go on until the bleeding is under control. So that kind of explains that. I don't know how much more I can go in depth into that one.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bryn. All right. Well, just going to ask you a more general question. Just what you thought of the U.S. Open and the final, two teenagers in the final, obviously, you know, an unbelievable showing. Very proud of our of Leila Annie. And in general, it's just quite the show to see two teenagers in the final, was it not?
Oh, it was beyond impressive. The last time it happened was, I think, Martina Hingis and Serena Williams. I don't want to quote myself there, but I'm pretty sure it hasn't happened in a long time. So it just goes to show how special this U.S. Open really was, and the level of play from both of those teenage girls was, far beyond their years. You know, beating top player after top player after top player from both of them. I mean, Layla had an incredible run and just kept knocking off the top seeds as she went. And then Emma Raducanu not dropping a set the entire tournament. I mean, there's you're going to be hard-pressed to find anyone that hasn't dropped a set on their way to winning a slam. I think maybe Federer did it, but I don't even know that for sure. I think Federer might have done it. But to be a qualifier and win a Grand Slam, I don't think anyone's ever done that before. And then to do that without losing one single set might be the only time we ever see that happen. So it just goes to show the extraordinary level of play from both those players that we saw on the weekend.
Yeah, it's an incredible accomplishment. I mean, anytime you can do anything basically perfectly, you should be pretty happy about it. And when that thing is the U.S. Open, even more so. I do want to dive back to the final. In terms of, you know, you mentioned there, you could see, you know, Layla was upset based on the time it was taking. How much does momentum matter in a tennis match? You know, it looked like she was really fighting it throughout basically the entirety of the match, up until the moment it turned, and she really kind of had Raducanu on the ropes, it seemed a bit there. Like, how much, I'm sitting there watching it going, there's no chance she doesn't win this set if there's not a five-minute delay. How much does the momentum actually kind of play into it? Because, you know, I can imagine it can kind of, things can kind of unravel very quickly in a tennis match. You know, you're cruising along and then all of a sudden you get broken and they hold break and then they're up a mini break. Like, it feels like it was kind of unraveling very quickly there for Raducanu. How much would the momentum have kind of played into Layla's favor if there hadn't been that delay?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's so tough to say, right? Because this is just the way that it unfolded. So, you know, we unfortunately don't have a parallel universe to compare it to, but I will say 10 a.m., maybe one day. But I will say that tennis really is just a huge amount of ebbs and flows and momentum. And at the time, you're absolutely right. Layla was fighting her way back. It seemed like Raducanu was starting to unravel, to use your word. That's kind of exactly what it looked like. And Layla was just, you know, she was smiling, she was laughing, she was just trying to really enjoy the moment. And you could see she was just, her game just kept elevating. And Raducanu was sort of trying to come up with the good to finish her off. And then the delay just completely, you know, put a roadblock on all the momentum that was happening, you know, good and bad. And you could see, though, which was really interesting, was Layla's energy immediately changed. Like, prior to the delay, she was smiling. She was really just trying to live the moment and enjoy every second, which is, you know, so wonderful to see. And then the second that they stopped play, she immediately went from this, like, happy, cheerful, grateful-looking player to someone that was really frustrated, someone that all of a sudden was overwhelmed with negative emotions and anger and frustration. And that 100% changes the way that you play your game. You're now hitting the ball with anger or with negativity in your heart instead of with you know, freedom and with happiness and, you know, carefreeness, so to speak, almost. So that definitely impacts your game like an immense amount, more than most people realize. So I would definitely say there's likely a big component of how that injury or, you know, medical timeout was handled. And you can see Raducanu, you know, she collected herself and she was able to finish off the match. And I think that, you know, she, you know, during the medical timeout, she stayed calmer, and she could have easily freaked out, for sure. You know, she's bleeding and, you know, she's, the match is slipping away from her, and now she has more time to think about it. But I think the fact that Layla got so frustrated and upset by the situation probably, you know, whether consciously or not, gave her some confidence to know that, hey, well, you know, things aren't going so well for the last 5 minutes, but she seems a lot more pissed about it than I do. So maybe if I just, you know, keep my head in the game and keep calm about it, this might happen. And, you know, if I were in Raducanu's shoes, I certainly would be thinking that. So, you know, again, we don't know what would have happened had the medical timeout not actually happened, but, you know, you could definitely say that played an impact on the ultimate result.
Yeah, Brent and I are both golfers, and I understand the idea of hitting the ball with, I don't want to call it hate in your heart, but tension in your hands anyway. It's certainly a different thing than when your head's in a different place. What about for you personally, Sharon? You posted that you're unable to compete at the U.S. Open this year, continuing to rehab your shoulder. What's next for you?
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing, of course, but, you know, thankfully there's a lot worse shoulder injuries I could have had out there, so I'm grateful for that. And now I'm playing and I'm serving again, and I'm just so excited to get back out there. So I'm planning to actually start competing again at the end of September. There's a 500 in Chicago, and then I plan to go to Indian Wells in California after that. So, you know, depending on how that goes, I might play another one. I might take a little break and then play some more. Who knows? But I'm going to start with that, depending on how those two go. And I'm just super, super excited to get back out there.
Yeah, good luck. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. You know, in terms of some of the other players, like, we just keep having this run of success. You know, you can start it back with Bianca at the U.S. Open. I mean, you can go back to Jeannie at Wimbledon before that. Milos has got pretty deep in Australia. You know, our most recent Grand Slam winner, of course, is Bianca. We just had Layla in the final. The men are certainly making inroads as well. Do you expect to see, you know, Felix and Dennis kind of continuing to ascend? It always seems to me, again, as a more casual observer, that you see these guys, the Zverevs, the TT passes, they kind of get up there, they fly close to the sun. And then I know Medvedev just got back Djokovic, but more times than not, Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, one of those guys ends up smacking them down. Do you think Felix or Dennis can kind of break through and make it to a final and potentially win a Grand Slam one day?
Definitely. I really do. I mean, both of them are so young. I think the most important thing for them is just going to be to stay healthy, because, you know, as long as they're out there playing there, I really do feel that they'll just keep improving. You know, men's tennis typically evolves at a different rate than women's tennis does. You don't usually see such young players bursting out on the scene. So it just goes to show the level that they have already. So I can't even imagine and can't wait to see the level of tennis that they'll be putting out in a few more years. So I really do think that they have the potential to be at the top of the men's game and stay there. I think, you know, it's also really interesting with, you know, the big three, the Djokovic, Nadal, Federer trio kind of, you know, being towards the end of their career. And there's, you know, whether we all like it or not, at some point there's going to be a changing of the guard. And I think we're just starting to see that slowly start to shift and happen out there. Medvedev winning and, you know, Djokovic showing that he's human, and Federer having to miss tournaments, Nadal having to miss some tournaments due to injury. So I think that, you know, as long as our Canadian guys stay healthy and they keep at it, I really, really think that their level can be there. Their level certainly is there. They've shown that with Dennis making the semifinals of Wimbledon and Djokovic having such positive words for him after the match. And then Felix now, you know, making it to the semifinals as well of US Open. Like, that's huge. And they have so much more time to keep growing and developing as people and as athletes and as players. So I think Canada is going to be in for a really, really fun ride.